Well, that's a gift from the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Write a song like that. Play the trumpet, play the piano. All I ever did was play on the linoleum. I've got... Well, it looks like most of you came back tonight. You're a glutton for punishment, I guess, and I'm glad you did. I think we ought to get a big sign, put it out in front of the church. Attention, terrorists. This is not a gun-free area. Amen. We'll come at you from three different directions. And I'm trusting that some of you have a weapon tonight. I know we have three men at our church that carry. And if I can get to the car, then we'll be even. If I can get out to the car, and then if I can get, and at the house, if I can get in the bedroom, there's a .357 in there that... is loaded with hollow points. And we need to realize and recognize Satan is having a heyday. They say that there's 27 dead at that church in Texas, and maybe a dozen more or more that are wounded. And think about, and the preacher's daughter was killed in, from what we heard on Fox News. You kids in here, you need to get saved. Mom and dad, lead them to the Lord. Send them to their Sunday school teacher. Send them to the man of God over here. A man of God over here. There are men of God out here as well. And tonight, I'm going to preach on... how could that happen? How to have a successful nervous breakdown. We're living in perilous times. And if you don't realize how much you need the Word of God, and if you don't realize how much you need Holy Spirit leadership, if nothing else, I mean, if nothing more than, what am I going to wear to church? Ask God. And there'll be times when the Holy Spirit will say, don't go to church the regular route you do. Go different. There's a reason for that. And when we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, our lives are going to go up. And there's nothing as comforting as knowing I did what God told me to do. I didn't understand it like she sang. I didn't understand why he wanted me to do what he did. But he led me and I followed. And there's just something about pilling your head at night and praying just before you go to sleep. And the Holy Spirit seems to say, you did it right. Well done. I'm glad. Tonight I want to preach on Elijah. Elijah is a main character in the Old Testament. And I want you to realize that every servant of God, starting with Adam, going down, Peter, Abraham, Moses, they all had times in their life when they were looking at and committing open sin against God. But the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth's not in us. And he also said, if we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, I don't sin, lying is a sin. Amen? And with God, sin doesn't come in degrees. Sin is sin. And to think of some of the righteous people and what they did, and then what God, and God forgave them and used them anyhow. So turn in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm going to need some help tonight. And since you're standing, read verse 1 of 1 Kings 17. Go ahead and ask the Lord to bless the message tonight.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful tonight for the privilege that we have, Lord, to congregate ourselves to worship you. We're thankful for your word, Lord. We're thankful, Brother Aldridge, dear God, we ask that you give him, Lord, the words that you have him to deliver to our ears. And dear Father, we ask that we would humble ourselves.
Amen.
Before you, Lord, and make ourselves presentable for any service that you might have, dear Lord, and that we could see that souls, Lord, is the goal of our service to you. And that tonight you touch someone, Lord, that may not have ever accepted your plan of salvation. We ask for that. We thank you from the depths of our heart in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Be seated. He just preached the message in prayer. But I'm going to elaborate on it just a little. And that the cold, hard fact of the matter is, if God would use a guy like John Aldrich, he'd use anybody. And I want you to realize and recognize that God wants to use every saved person in this room. Amen. He wants to use you in a special way. Now, you may not be another Elijah or Moses or Paul, or Timothy and Titus, or Onesimus, or Epaphroditus. But God wants to use you in a way that only you can be used. 1 Kings 17, we see a brand new name. Some guy named Elijah. What's his background? We don't know. He walks in before the king and he says, it's not going to rain till I say so, turned on his heel and walked out. And that worthless king, Ahab, who was that? Elijah the Tishbite. Well, who is he? What is he? Well, we don't know. But he said, it's not going to rain till I say so. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. Because rain is controlled by God. And guess what? Well, read the next verse. Somebody read the next verse. Read verse 2. Notice what God did. Isn't it amazing that there's people that God spoke directly to? Amen. I mean, the Lord said this. And I'm here to tell you, he'll speak. Now, they're not going to write another Bible and record what he tells you. But God is going to speak to you just like he spoke to Elijah. Now read verse 3. Somebody read verse 3. Tonight. Okay. Now, verse 3 starts a whole series of messages that I'm not going to preach. But notice the word there. I want you to go down by the brook Cherith, because Ahab is not going to like this drought thing. And I want you to go right there, right by the brook. And I'm here to tell you, God has that kind of instructions for every saved person. You say, "Preacher, you said that 3 times, every saved person." That's because that's who he speaks to. The Holy Spirit, the only thing that the Holy Spirit speaks to unsaved people, and if you're here and you're unsaved, the only thing God's going to say to you is, you need to get saved. You're a heartbeat out of hell. You need to get saved. I'm not going to use you in the condition you're in. You may learn how to play the trumpet. You may be able to play the piano or write a song or such as that. But God's not going to use you until you get saved.
That's right.
All right. And read the next verse. What happened to the brook? Okay, go ahead. I couldn't hear him. Did he read it?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sure you did, but I couldn't hear. Now, what happens next? The brook dries up. Well, of course, it hadn't rained. Brooks dry up when it doesn't rain. And God is in control. Now, I want you to read 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19 as a result of this message, because I'm going to paraphrase and preach it, and we're not going to read a whole lot more here in chapter 17. But I want you to realize God told Elijah, "I'm going to send you up to Zarephath," which incidentally was the headquarters for Baalism. That was a religious headquarters for Baalism. And God said, "I'm going to send you up there." And this just puts a great big question mark in my mind every time I read it. "And there's a widow up there that's going to take care of you." Now, I'll be real honest with you. Having some widow take care of me is about as attractive as a light case of hemorrhoids. Amen? I don't want a widow taking care of me, because that means she's gone. And I just think about, and he said, "There's a widow up there." God changes his "there" from a brook to Zarephath. And God has the right to do that. And if you don't get in the right there, guess what you're going to lose? Now, I'm preaching this because I believe there's some people here tonight that have got some "theirs" they need to take care of. Whether it be the job, whether it be tithing, whether it be being a blessing to someone else. And Elijah goes, and the Bible says the widow was there gathering sticks. Now, just think about, ladies, just think about the fact, no natural gas, no electric stoves. You had to kindle a fire to cook anything. And Elijah walks up to her. There she is. Everybody's friendly. And she's getting ready to leave, and he said, well, would you, he said, well, what are you doing? And she said, well, said, I'm gathering sticks for us to cook our last meal and then die of starvation. That's a pretty serious situation to be in. She said, we've got a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal. And Elijah does something that is really hard to do. He said, would you bring me a glass of water or a cup of water? It hadn't rained. Water is precious. She said, I will. If I were to retitle this message, I would entitle it, What's in it for me? Now, we're living in a society that wants to know what's in it for me. Me, me, me. But this is a different story because they've been in a drought. She's poor. And he said, would you bring me a cup of water? She's getting ready to go. What kind of spirit and attitude is it? Here you're fixing to starve to death. And this preacher who doesn't look like he's ever missed a meal. That's my... Anyway. And she's going to go bring him some water. And then he said, well, would you bake me a cake first? And you know what? She did. Now, can you imagine when she went back home with her sticks? And I don't know how old her son was. If he was little teeny, that's one thing. But what if he was 7, 8, 9 years old? And he says, well, Mom, you got some sticks for their last meal. She says, well, I'm going to cook a meal for the preacher. And I can imagine in my mind the boy saying, we've only got one meal left. That preacher doesn't look like he's ever missed a meal. You're going to give our food to him? And she says, yes. And apparently, he said, all right. And she brings the food and gives it to Elijah. And for over 3 years now, God doesn't let her food supply run out. You reckon I could preach for an hour on the fact of let God provide for you? Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give. I can't afford to be a blessing to so-and-so. No, you're dead right. But he can. But he can. And I could preach for 2 hours and tell you about from 1957 until tonight how God has taken care of my wife and I and our 4 children. And the 2 churches I started. And the church in El Reno that I pastored for 12 and a half years. I only pastored 3 churches in 55 years, but I started 2 of them from scratch. And you know what I knew about starting churches when I started that church in Slidell, Louisiana? Less than 0. I didn't know diddly squat about how to start a church. And I went over there with a 4-year-old boy and a wife that was expecting our 2nd child. We went over there in June, and she was born in October. And my support was $35 a month, whether we needed it or not. I don't know yet how God took care of us. We paid $85 a month for rent, and that was in 1963, and that's the most rent we ever paid. And God paid it. And God took care of us. And when I went to the doctor and told him, I said, "I hear you're a Christian, Dr. Nix. I want you to deliver our baby." And he was a Frenchman, Southern Baptist, smoked a cigar. And he leaned back and took a draw on his cigar, and he said, "Well, I always give professional courtesy to Baptist, to preachers." I had never heard the term professional courtesy in my life. I had no idea what that meant, but I figured it out. Amen. Are you listening? God took care of us. I could talk for hours about how that He gave us things. Went to a fellowship meeting and got $85 a month promised support. And our first check came in on August the 3rd, 1963. And it was $5. And somehow, God took care of us. Just like He took care of Elijah. The boy got sick. God healed him. God used Elijah. And just for the record, there's no immorality in chapter 17. Amen. Amen. You see, how do you know that? Because I know God, and I believe that Elijah and that woman were God-fearing people. So now turn to chapter 18. It's been years, no rain. Somebody read the first verse of chapter 18. Okay?
"And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth."
Thank you. The first verse in chapter 18 is, God said, "I'm going to send rain. I'm going to send rain." And who did He tell? He told the man of God, just like you can be a servant of God and a man of God or a woman of God, "I'm going to send rain." And He's the only one that knew it. Nobody else in the whole wide world knew that God was going to send rain. Could I suggest to you tonight, if you're saved, God wants to lead you just like He led Elijah. He wants to lead you down to the minute detail. He wants to show you, and let me tell you something. When you're walking along and things are kind of rough, and God says, "I'm going to bless it." Well, praise the Lord. And that's what's available to every person here tonight that's saved. But you got to do what He told you to do yesterday for Him to lead you today. Now, well, what if I didn't do yesterday what He told me to do? Ask God to forgive you. That's all you got to do. "Lord, please forgive me for not being obedient. Please forgive me for not listening. Lord, please lead me." And guess what He'll do? And I'm here to tell you, that's available to everybody. Everybody that's saved, that is available to them. Well, it's going to rain. Well, you know, if those of you that have read the Bible a time or two, God is going to reveal Elijah to Ahab. Now, Ahab is a worthless pile of junk who is a king, married to a woman named Jezebel. but I call her Jezzy. He's married to a woman named Jezebel. And her dad was in Baalism and all that. But anyway, it's going to rain, and Ahab is out looking for Elijah. And they meet, and Ahab threw a question at him. Are you the one that's troubling Israel? And Elijah, the man that he was, said, it's not me, buddy, it's you. And let me tell you something. There's a reason why God is not blessing America the way he did in the past. Amen? Look at where America is today. And let me just tell you something, and you young people, listen to me, you 13 years old and a little older. God never made a mistake when he made you a boy and her a girl. Amen. And you don't ever have to worry about the possibility that maybe someday you'll turn into a girl or you'll turn into a boy. God never made a mistake along that line. That is an abomination before God. And it's as wrong as a $3 bill. Transgender. And we're living in a time, Brother Lorenz, if two men come in here and want to get married, and you say, not on your life, you will be in trouble with the law. I'll start a jail ministry before I'll marry two men or two women. I'm not going to do it. Why? It's against the Word of God. It's against the Bible. And look at our judicial system. That guy down there at Moore that cut that woman's head off, 3 years ago? He still hasn't paid for his crime. And they said, well, we don't know whether he's capable of standing trial. If you can do the crime, you can do the time. Right. And he should have been dead years ago. That guy in New York that killed those 8 people, he should have already been electrocuted. Right. And today, somebody walks into a Baptist church and kills 27 people, including some children. The Bible says, if you shed man's blood, by man your blood shall be shed, in Genesis 9. And what that means is, quit this garbage. Well, we don't know whether he's ready to face trial. If you did the crime, you can face trial. Amen. So, we go into chapter 18. And they have a meeting. And old Jezzy, she's been feeding 400 false prophets at her table. And then there's another 450. So there's 850 false prophets there. And the Bible makes it plain that Elijah walked up and he said something to the people. And they said, well, they didn't answer him a word. They said, well, we don't know. You wimps that won't stand for the Word of God, shame on you. Say amen. A man ought to lead his family to believe the Word of God. A man ought to lead his family to support and pray for your pastor. A man of God, a real man, is going to lead his family spiritually. But they didn't. They said, well, we'll just wait and see. You wimp. So here comes the false prophets. And Elijah said, we got a couple of bulls here. You pick one of them and build an altar and put the wood on it and put your sacrifice on there. And the God who answers, whether it be Baal or whether it be the God of heaven, the one that answers prayer by burning the sacrifice, that's who we need to serve. Now, there's some of you going to misunderstand what I'm fixing to say now. But Elijah, they made their altar and put their wood on it and cut their oxen up and they put the bones on there and they cried out to Allah, 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 send a, not Allah, Baal. Same difference. Islam is of the devil. And I'm going to go ahead and say something else. So is Roman Catholic. Read Revelation 17. And the Protestant religions that do not preach Jesus Christ as Savior are of the devil. And you say, well, you shouldn't say that about other people's religion. I don't want them to go to hell. And that's where they're headed. And Elijah, he mocked them. And it says, well, maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on a journey. And I thought, well, maybe he's gone to the bathroom even. You know, he's not listening to your Baalism isn't listening. And guess what? False religion is not going to listen. It's contrary to Scripture. Then they say, well, Elijah, you go ahead and do yours. He builds an altar, puts the wood on it, puts the offering on it, and then he said, bring a couple of barrels of water. And they pour water on the sacrifice. He said, dig a trench around my altar. And they do. And he fills his altar and he fills that ditch with water. Now, let me tell you something. It's kind of stupid to think you're going to have a fire when your wood is wet. And it is wet. And they said, well, let's watch and see. Let's see what happens. Kind of like the spectators at a football game. And how many people today, and maybe you're here tonight, where you just watch and see, what is God going to do? Is God going to bless the message that Brother Lorenz has? Is God going to bless the bus ministry? Is God going to bless visitation? Well, he bows his head to pray. 53 words. When he gets through praying, God sends fire. It burns the sacrifice. It burns the wood. It burns the altar. It burns the water around it. And the people all of a sudden say, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. He was before. And God help anybody in this room that has to see something like that before they'll testify that the Lord, he's the God. Well, then they have a ministerial meeting. And they kill 400 false prophets. I've thought of that. There's some people that are so-called preachers that ought to be dead. They're leading people astray. They're preaching lies. And let me tell you something, if it's not the Bible, it's a lie. And you say, well, they're just, they don't understand. You need to be patient. Yeah, I'll be patient. Get saved. That's where your patience is. They go up on Mount. Elijah sits down, puts his hands on his knees and prays and said, told his servant, go see if there's any rain, see if there's any clouds. Well, there's a cloud out there about the size of a man's fist. Well, then get ready because it's fixing to rain. And he tells Ahab, you better head for home because it's fixing to rain. And I'd love to have seen this. Ahab's got his chariot and his horses, and I don't know whether it's two horses or six or whatever it is. And Elijah girds up his clothes and starts running. And he outruns Ahab and his horses. And I'm sure that Ahab had put the whip to those horses many times. If I could just run over that prophet right out there. Oh, I'd love to run over him. And Elijah's just running. And they go back. Now, if you want to know the signs of a breakdown, go to chapter 19. Read the first verse of chapter 19. After all this victory, all these things that happened, read verse 1 of chapter 19. Okay? Wait a minute, stop right there. This man saw these things happen. And what does he do? I'm going to tell my wife on you. I'm going to tell old Jezzy on you. Now read the rest of the verse.
And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword.
Now let me tell you something. And this is just as sure as John 3:16. If you serve God, the devil is going to have a response.
You're right.
Old Jezzy, she's not like her husband. All right, somebody read verse 2. Part of it anyway.
Wait a minute.
She sent a messenger to Elijah. Now, could I just tell you, you're going to hear from Satan and his crowd when God starts using you. She sent a message to Elijah. All right, read another short part there. Wait a minute. She's saying, putting her life, let the gods do to me what you did to these prophets. Go ahead and read this some more.
More also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time.
About this time tomorrow, buddy, you're going to be history. I'm going to see to it that you... Now, look at the victory he's got on the back of his mind. Look at the victory that's happened. Why don't you just say, go ahead, Jezzy, just try it and see what happens. Here's all these victories. And here's point number two of the message. You are going to be tested, and you have an option. Every time God leads you in something, you have the option. Yes, Father, or no. And things can change real quick with one no to God. Now here he is. He's back there in Jezreel. He outran Ahab and his horses. And she said, you're tomorrow, you're going to be just like those false prophets, those prophets. Now, read what he did and read what you can do if you do it wrong. Somebody read just the first 10 words of the next verse. What does it say? Okay. Wait a minute. He ran. Now, what that is the cold, hard fact that he overestimated the power of his enemy. He overestimated what could happen. And I'm here to tell you that Satan is going to throw that at you. If you start really serving God, Satan's going to throw it at you, and he's going to try to give you an opportunity to cut and run. That is the first step of a nervous breakdown. That is the first step of carnality. That is the first step, as he overestimated the power of his enemy. Now read the next few words.
And came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there.
Now the next thing he did was he ran, and then he left his servant. How many times does a carnal backslider want to be alone? Well, we just don't go to church because Brother Lorenz is always preaching on something that tears us up. You know, we just don't want to get involved in Bible Baptist Church. We don't want to get involved. We want to watch. We want to stand at, and he wanted to be alone instead of having his servant there with him. Now read the next phrase. Okay.
And he himself, on a day's journey into the wilderness, he sat down under a
juniper tree. There it is. Stop. I want to be alone, and I want to sit down and not be involved. It is, the devil has this lie. Well, just sit and see what happens. Just let things go. Yeah? And for those of you that are married and got children, your kids are going to pay. I just want to sit down under the tree. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be part of whatever it is, because there's going to be criticism. Let me tell you something. When a church starts really serving God, you mark her down, there's going to be some criticism.
Right.
I don't have time to do this, but this is where the wolves in sheep's clothing come from. And Jesus mentioned wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul mentioned ravaging wolves. You ever heard about a compassionate wolf? You're not going to. But they're smart. And they're in sheep's clothing, and they're going to act like sheep until the time comes to take somebody out. And you mark her down. I'm going to go ahead and say it. There have been some wolves in sheep's clothing members of this church. Amen. And guess what? There's probably a couple now. You say, well, preacher, you're condemning people. No, I'm just telling you that a church that's serving God, Satan is going to send in some wolves in sheep's clothing. He's going to send in some scorners. He's going to send in some wicked. And if you're walking with God, you'll be able to spot them. He can spot them. And I'm not going to ask him to do it. But he could give you names of people that came. And praise God, now they're not coming. And they were wolves in sheep's clothing. Shake your head if I'm right. I've only pastored Calvary Baptist Church there in Edmond for 26 years. And I can give you the name and address of some wolves in sheep's clothing that came in. And at first, boy, what a blessing. And then things started happening. Right, and you read the next phrase. And he requested that he might die. Now, how stupid can you get? God, would you let me die? Well, just for the record, God didn't let him die. As a matter of fact, if you'll read a little bit in, he never did die. He never did die. They're walking along, and here comes the horses and the chariot, and the whirlwind took him up, and Elisha saw it. Now, that takes some concentration. If there's horses and a chariot coming down, and it comes between me and him, and he gets taken up with a whirlwind, I'm going to be watching that chariot. Not that man of God, but Elisha. Now, that's how you fall apart.
I'm not better than my fathers.
Thank you. That'll do for now.
I'm not better than my fathers. Let me die.
And God said, "Oh, shut up." That's my interpretation. Go over there and go to sleep. And I'm wondering today, how many people, if they'd just learned to relax and trust God, how the world would improve, in their world would improve. Because an angel comes and wakes him up, and there's food and water. Why don't we let God take care of us? Why not let God take care of everything? He eats, and the angel says, "Go back to sleep." Okay. And they do it again. And then the Bible says, God tells him, he says, "You need to go on a little journey. 40 days. With nothing to eat and drink." Wow. I don't know about you. I have fasted. The longest I ever fasted was about 5 days. But that'll put a strain on things. And he goes and he comes to a mountain and a cave. And God asks him a question. "Elijah, what are you doing here? Could I ask you a question? What are you doing in Bible Baptist Church? What are you doing in Sepulpa? What are you doing in this part of Oklahoma? What are you doing?" And Elijah says, "Well, you know," he said, I'm the only one serving you, God. And they're trying to kill me. I'm the only one serving you. And God eventually tells him, so, well, I've got 7,000 others that haven't. And he goes in up on the mountain, and there's a wind and a earthquake and a fire. And the Bible says, and God was not in them. Yeah. And he asks the question again, what are you doing here? He said, go down to that cave. And he did. Somebody read verse 12. Tonight. He wasn't in the earthquake and the fire and the wind. He wasn't in those things. The Bible says, and a still, small voice. That's how you have a successful nervous breakdown. You learn how to listen to God. Because he's going to leave there, and he's going to find, God's going to lead him to Elisha. And Elisha's going to pour water on his hands. Elisha's going to minister to him. He's going to serve, and Elijah's ministry is going to quadruple. Now, here's the message. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter how much how God blessed him and gave him the victory and gave him all of those things. When he overestimated the power of his enemy, when he forgot the blessings of God, when he put his own life ahead of the will of God, he went down. And then God said, remedy? There's going to be a still, small voice. And I'm here to tell you tonight that during this invitation, there's going to be a still, small voice in a lot of people's lives. And he's going to say something like, you need to witness to your next door neighbor. You need to take 6 tracks in your pocket tomorrow when you go to work. You need to invite all those other 13-year-olds in your school, or a lot of them, to come and visit your church. You need to live a life that's different from what the world is living and what they're living in the schools. You need to live your life different than your neighborhood, your community. But it'll be a still, small voice. God is... Here's an hour and a half message, real quick. God has foreknowledge. He knows what you're going to do next Thursday. But he's not going to intervene with your free moral agency. You're going to make the decision. And just because he already knows what it is does not mean that he's going to make you do anything. If you serve God, it's because you chose to and you want to. And look at Elijah's life after God asked him twice, what are you doing here? And then a very simple solution, a still, small voice. Wonder what would happen if every person in this room tonight asked God, what do you want me to do tonight? Well, I'm going to suggest something tonight. Read 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19. Read Proverbs 5. And tomorrow, read Proverbs 6. And see what God is doing. And it'll explain what the world is doing. And it can give you a still small voice for victory. And you say, well, how old do you need to be? Old enough to read. And eyes that can see it. And this cold, hard fact. Look at the great people of God that had down times in their life. Look at old Pete. He's the one that said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never deny you. I'll never. And God, Jesus said, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. He said, I'll die for you first. Yeah. And right after he denied him the third time, he remembered what Jesus said, and he went out and wept bitterly. And guess what? His life is different after that. Yeah. And guess what? You may never be a Peter because they crucified him upside down. You may never be a Peter, but you can be one of those people that we read in Romans chapter 16. You can be one of those people. And guess what? There's a guy sitting over here. And he's going to say, thank you, Father, thank you, Father, thank you, Father, thank you, Father, when he sees some of you that listen to that still, small voice. Amen? Amen. What happens if we were to get 12 new families to really start serving God?
It'd be great.
Amen. They come to every service. They pray for their preacher every day. They show up on visitation. They're a blessing to the visitors. And guess what? They're receiving the blessings of God. Anybody in here? I've got all the blessings from God I want. I don't want any more blessings from God. He's lucky that I've come to this church. He's lucky that I get to serve him in any capacity. Mm-hmm. Get ready, sunshine. Because it's coming. And you're not going to like it. But why not listen to that still small voice? And it's not going to shake the rafters. It's a still small voice that can change your whole life. Just like it did Elijah. Anybody here? Well, I don't want to have a life like Elijah. I just want to have my own life. I want to call my own shots. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Get ready. And if you've already accepted Christ as your Savior, you're still saved, but the blessings of God won't be there. So maybe tonight, and you say, well, if I surrender my life to God, he'll call me to Africa as a missionary. Well, he didn't need any of those people in Romans 16. And guess what? If he does call you, he'll take care of you. And there's just something about the people who stand around and say, I'm the only one serving God. Nobody's serving God but me. Oh, poor me. I feel so sorry for me. Grow up. Realize and recognize the greatest privilege in the world is to be a servant of God. You don't have to stand behind a pulpit. You don't have to go to a mission field. Just do what he tells you to do the first time he tells you.
Amen.
The first time he tells you. You kids in here, when is the best time to mind mom and dad? The first time they tell you or the fifth? You're right, buddy. When's the best time to obey God? The first time he tells you. Do you understand it? No. Does it scare you? Yep. But are the blessings coming? Just as sure as God made little green apples, the blessing is coming. Well, I don't know. I'm sure I preached too long. But let's have an invitation. Let's tell God, I want to do what you tell me to do. I want to be what you can make out of me. And it doesn't matter what the past has been. It's where you are right now. And Satan's going to see to it that you're going to have some times when you're going to forget God's blessing, overestimate the power of your enemy, run down and try to be alone and sit down under a juniper tree and then tell God, God, I just want to die. I'm not better than my father. God, I just... Grow up. Amen. You're not going to die till God says so. And let me tell you something. Living in victory is a whole lot more fun than living in defeat. Let's stand together. What would happen if half of this church said, God, I want us to be used starting right now? The invitation starts right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that they listened. And Father, I pray that you'll bless in a special, special, special way and lead by your Spirit that every person in this room that's saved can grow in grace and can begin to see an outpouring of your Spirit in a way that maybe they never saw before. And that from now till the first of the year, miracles, power, victory, obvious will of God. And I pray for every person here that's saved, that that's exactly what they'll do. And I pray for those that are not saved, that tonight they would realize they're a heartbeat out of hell. And what happened in Texas today could happen again before the sun goes down tomorrow night. So watch over us. Give us wisdom. Follow your leadership. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight as the invitation is given. God's spoken to your heart about obedience, about following His direction, following His will, not necessarily understanding all of the intricacies of it, but simply just following His leadership. God's spoken to your heart tonight. Why don't you come? Maybe it is tonight. Maybe it is to be saved. And God's speaking to your heart right now about your salvation. Again, I say to you, I don't know why anyone would wait.
Amen.
God's speaking to your heart. That's really, that's one of the fundamental elements that need to be there. The salvation's not just a prayer. It's not just an act that we go through. But it's initiated by God, the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And He often does that in the invitation just like this. And I want to encourage you tonight.
Amen.
It'd be nothing but gladness, nothing but cheer, nothing but encouragement. Maybe there's a step that you need to take in your Christian walk. a step of just faithfulness. You know, that's the great need of churches just like ours today, is faithfulness. Someone like Elijah, maybe, that moves at God's bidding and is a man subject to like passions, like as we are, and yet a man that would allow God to use him, a man that would be usable to God. Are you that man? Are you that person tonight? Let the Lord deal in your hearts tonight. Just a moment longer as these are praying. Let God speak to your heart. Let's take our hymnal out. Turn to that hymn, 337, Trust and Obey. You know, if there was a mantra, so to speak, of the Christian life or of our personal lives, it ought to be that, shouldn't it? A theme, so to speak, of our lives ought to be trust and obey. I know every parent would like for their child to sing that every morning. Trust and obey. That's what I want to do, Mom. That's what I want to do, Dad. Don't you know that's what our Heavenly Father wants out of us as well? To trust and obey. Let's sing that out on that first verse, 337.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust Him.
Tonight, as music continues to play, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.